Travis. Good another day now to record well another episode for Give Us the Launch Codes, right?
Yeah.
I got a treat for us.
Yeah. What you got?
I did an interview. I say we just jump right into it and have some fun. We're going to talk about fast food.
Ooh, fast food.
Let's jump in.
Hey, everybody. It's Tom again, doing another interview myself here. Got a special treat for you. So if you all remember, I did an interview with Angel, a former Michelin star chef, about the world of fine dining. So I thought a fun companion piece, really, to that one would be interviewing someone who works in the fast food industry. So we got a great one for you here for this interview for Give Us the Launch Codes. Let's get into it. I'd like to introduce a new friend of the podcast here. New friend, we have a Brit. Brit, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Most welcome. So now you work for a very well-known fast food company, correct?
Yes, I do.
And how long have you been working for this company?
20 plus years.
Okay, wow. So that's 20 years. So you've definitely seen a lot of things happen with the fast food industry, and you could say you're pretty well-versed in just that industry as a whole.
Yes.
Now, let's start it off pretty simple. I got a question for you. What made you get into this industry? Why did you want to apply for this job?
I think it found me, because originally I wanted to be a school teacher, and things kind of started falling through with it, and I needed to find a job. And honestly, this was the last place I applied for. And lo and behold, they said, hey, can you hang around for an interview? And I said, yes. And then they hired me on the spot. And it's kind of, I've been obviously there ever since.
What was the interview process like for people who aren't well known about the fast food industry? So of those who want to get a job into it, what was that interview process like?
Honestly, Tom, I do not remember.
Well, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how about this then? Do you know what it's kind of like nowadays?
Nowadays, it's definitely more on the business end, making sure that they're hiring the right person. You know, are they wearing the right clothes? Are they smiling? Are they answering the questions in a positive manner? Or if there's any red flags as far as maybe they're not giving that eye contact. It's definitely a process now for sure. I've done a few interviews for my job as far as interviewing potential employees. And it's just basically simple questions is how long do you plan to stay with the company? What are your intentions as far as if you are to leave the company? What do you want to do outside? And we just kind of keep it light and easy so that way they feel comfortable and they don't feel nervous.
Is then for sure you would say, like as well as fine dining and fast food, the main priority for employees on both the sides of the spectrum involving the food industry, mm-hmm. it's really just customer service, good attitude, and commitment.
Yes. I mean, don't you like it when you go to a restaurant and you have good customer service?
True. I can't argue with you on that one. What's interesting about what I found with fast food is it really is about just the speed, because really it seems like anyone who just goes to any fast food restaurant, they're just in there to get something quick in their stomachs and move about their day. What is the importance on having a streamline for that?
Having a streamline for it would be, keyword, fast food. You want to get in, you want to get out. It's more of just making sure you give the customer what they want and say, hi, how you doing? And have a good day. And make sure that they're enjoying what they have ordered and we'll come back.
In your opinion, then, with fast food and the use of the speediness of, just hi, how you doing, getting in and getting out and hoping they come back, obviously, with that customer service. Mm-hmm. What is your take on, Uber Eats and DoorDash and Grubhub? Has that helped out the fast food industry? Has it hindered it? Or is it just basically the same as it always been? It's just a different way of getting your food?
I personally don't know, because I don't use any of those services, because I honestly don't believe in them. I'd rather go out and experience a restaurant, whether it be fast food or a sit down. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, I guess it could help businesses because it's helping expand their business, because people may not be able to get out. They may not be able to have a means of transportation. So this, helps them in that way, but they have to pay a fee and that kind of sucks. I mean, you're already paying for the food, and you're paying for somebody to, and you never know what the guy or gal does with the food, if they decide to munch on it or, you know, whatever it may be. But it's something I would never, ever put my family at risk with.
Does the company you work for utilize these apps?
They do not.
And why do you think that is, in your opinion, if you don't know the actual answer, or do you know what, why?
I really don't know the answer, but I imagine, you know, it's they like to base their food on the customer service and having that experience and not letting an app tell them what they need to do or how they need to order. They go in for the experience.
Again, you've been with the company for 20 years. What has that 2 decades been like, and what have you seen with the ever-evolving state of the fast food industry?
Prices have gone up. Cost of living obviously has gone up, so that affects the costs of things, whether if you go to your Del Taco or, you know, your ha the Habit or whatever it may be.
Being with the company for 20 years, as you have been, the evolving state of fast food. What's your what one, what has your career been like? But two, what have you also noticed throughout your 2 decades of how fast food has evolved?
It's definitely gotten busier. It's definitely more of a demand, because people have busy lives, whether they have kids or they don't. It's a quick bite to eat. And as far as the evolving part of it, because it's such a demand, it puts a lot on the workers too. And if it comes down to two, you know, if they don't hire the right workers, then it kind of affects the overall business aspect of it, because if they're not going to have a happy employee to give that good customer service or to give them the experience that they need to be able to come back to their restaurant, it's kind of that's what's kind of been lost a little bit, especially since having had COVID.
You bring up COVID. What was that year like during your operations? I know everyone had to change the way they operated. Places I've worked at during COVID, I know we had a totally new regulations and rules for about, it felt like a year. What was your experience with COVID during?
It sucked. It made things a lot tougher. That time I was a manager, so it put a lot of stress on the management team, as far as making sure we were following the proper regulations, whether it be the 6 foot difference between the people in line or at the tables in the restaurant. And also too, it got to the point where things got were shut down and we were closed and we were wearing masks. And it kind of, people would get agitated because they couldn't come inside. They were stuck through the drive lane wherever you were at. People would get frustrated. And it made their experience, you know, and it sucked for us because it's like, especially because our focus is customer service, making sure we give them what they want. But when we can't do that, or if we're hiding behind a mask, I get regulations, I get rules, but that's kind of was the turning point of the industry as far as like just how people act and their work ethic and just how literally the world shut down. And, you know, we were having to ask questions every time the workers came into work. You couldn't stand next to a person for more than 15 minutes. If you did and they had COVID, then, you know, you could be, what was that called? That you'd be the 10 days. I'm
Oh
having a
yeah,
brain fart.
the quarantine period.
The quarantine period.
Okay.
So then that affected business, because, and if somebody had COVID and then somebody was exposed to it, then that affected who we had on the shift. It affected labor. It affected, you know, people's hours, people that needed money to pay rent, to pay bills. If you weren't full time, you were kind of screwed because you were guaranteed your
I
hours.
see what you mean, because full time you're guaranteed that 40, but part time it's just whatever the business
Yeah,
allows.
so if it was super slow or it may be busy, but they need to rotate people around so at least people can get something, you know, you may only get 2 hours. And with California labor laws, if you go home within the hour, they have to pay you at least 2 hours. Who knows if they were actually doing it? Was I really looking at my paycheck, to be honest with you? Yes and no. But when you get down to like the crossing the T's and dotting the I's, you know, who knows if they were doing what they needed to do to make sure the workers were just in general everywhere. we're being properly, what is that word?
Taken care of?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Dialing it back a bit with your experience too. Uh-huh. When you said you brought up how busier people's lives have gotten, how busy the customers have, their lives have been, would you say that you've noticed that it seems like customers in their personal lives, when they would come in and you know, they would order food, you've noticed mm-hmm. that there doesn't seem to be as much leisure in their lives? They're just coming to get food quick and go, keep going and going and going?
Yes, I've noticed that, especially too with how the economy has been and how price has been raised and how much, you know, in the state of California, the minimum wage has been raised. And so that it raises everything else. And people are having to work more than one job to survive. Rents are ridiculous. Mortgages and interest rates have all gone up. And that affects people too. So more people are like in between their breaks or in between their jobs are coming in to eat. You know, it's not just, hey, let's go for dad's birthday or mom's birthday or Mother's Day or Father's Day. It's more, got to get in, got to get out. And they don't want to deal with anything.
Now, with prices going up and that mm-hmm. affecting the individual paycheck,
yeah.
Would you say then that customers are more picky about their food? You know, usually, you know, when you get a burger, like, oh, great, it's a burger. Are people more now really looking at what they're eating to make sure they're getting their money's worth?
Yes, I think so. But obviously, you know, each restaurant, fast food chain, whatever you go to, they're going to look at it differently depending on, you know, obviously, if you go to your Del Taco or your Taco Bell, it's not, I'm not going to say finer of the fast foods. No, but like if you look at your In-N-Out or Habit, they're going to obviously look at that and look at the quality because of their names and what they're known for. I mean, was it Forbes or I don't know exactly what.
Fortune 500
yeah. with, you know, the top whatever restaurants, you know, obviously they're going to expect more out of it. And if they don't get what they want, then they're going to give a little more attitude. And in turn, then, you know, workers are not going to want to work or they give poor attitudes. And then in turn, give bad looks for whatever company they may work for.
So you did mention, Britt, that you are a manager or were a manager?
I was a manager.
So when you started off in this company you work for in fast uh-huh. food, what was that journey like going up the ladder into management? Was it right off the bat? Did it take some time? And what made you decide?
It took me 13 years. Okay. And like I think I mentioned before, I wanted to be an elementary school teacher. And when the whole economy crashed in 2008, it was a 2-year waiting period for Cal State Fullerton. And I'm like, well, I need money. I need a job. I need some sort of security because, heck, I'm 3 years out of high school and been with this company for 3 years. Like, let's see what I can do. It took me some time because obviously at that time, the company was not growing as quickly. It took a little bit more time for you to get better in different things and better yourself. Whereas to now it's a little more fast paced and it sets certain goals for you to meet by a certain amount of time and things like that. So
it just, basically you had you put your eggs all in this basket.
Yes. Because it was just like, well, what can I do? And I knew people that, you know, had degrees, history degrees, whatever degrees. And for job security, they were making more money than if they were to use their degree.
Okay. So you found basically a good career through this.
Yes. Yes.
What was getting into the management process like?
Obviously state laws and learning different laws that the state has for food service, what the company itself has for their laws and what they require. It was a process. It was stressful. I mean, you're running a shift. It's busy. You have to think about different things to making sure you're not running out of things. So it was challenging. And then finally I was like, you know what, let me do this, you know, and I did. It was amazing to go through the classes to help run a business because it became my life. Basically, that was something that, you know, it was my career. Then there was another level of management I moved up into. And then I kind of plateaued there. And I think, yeah, money was great. Bonuses were great. But my mental state was suffering because I was stressing. I was worried about making my numbers and doing all this stuff. And it wasn't all sunshine and roses. It was tough. Relationships get strained, whether it be your significant other, or family, or, you know, just trying to find and finagle time with family and friends, because you have to eat, breathe, and sleep this career. And finally, my husband and I started having kids. And I think that was obviously a blessing, because there are kids, but it was a way for me to kind of step away from the management side of things, because it was stressful. It wasn't, like I said, all sunshine and roses. You know, yeah, the money was great, but your sanity was more important. And I struggled with the fact that, hey, this is a lot of money. You know, hey, it was nice having the $5,000 every month in my checking account. But in the end, what was that to me? Stress, strained relationships? That's not what I wanted. That's not what I needed. And so having kids really made me take a step back and look like, hey, yes, this restaurant is like my second family, but I took a $5 pay cut. And at that point, I didn't care, because all I knew is I wanted to be with this company, but I didn't want to give my heart and soul to it anymore. I wanted to give it to my family. The anxiety, the stress, it wasn't worth it to me anymore. And how things have changed, you know, from when I first started to now, and just expectations, and the kids that get hired, there's no sense of urgency. It's not the same anymore. It doesn't feel like family. It feels more like, hey, instead of us opening up a few places here and there over the course of so many years to lots of places across the United States in a matter of, you know, 365 days. And it's losing its luster. It's losing its spark. Yet it's still making lots of money. And I'm still proud to be part of this company, because I wouldn't be who I am today if it weren't for this company. It's where I met my husband. It's where I met the person that married us. It's where I've come out of my shell from being this quiet girl to a talkative lady who goes to Target and could randomly be talking to somebody about something. And 20 years ago, I wouldn't be even thinking about that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better mentally. You need to take that time to put into what the family you're creating. And that just goes to show you, too, that your loved ones are more important than your career. But you did bring up something that was actually interesting that I would like to ask you. Yeah. You said that you've been saying that recently the new hires coming in aren't as motivated as they used to beforehand. What do you think that what the factor is in that? What's causing younger generations who apply to jobs to just not be as motivated as when you were and throughout your time?
It could be just the morale of the team. It could be, or just this generation. I really don't know how to answer it. It's maybe COVID affected them. Maybe how their parents have raised them. I don't know. Or maybe it's just the company's not holding them accountable for, you know, they may give them these expectations, but are they really holding it to that? Like, they're holding them to it.
So there's multiple factors you think that have been changing overall with the attitude to working as a younger kid.
Oh, yeah. And especially as the business has grown, you may have had 20 years ago, three or four people on a closing shift for our restaurant. But nowadays you need 7 to 10, depending on the day of the week. It just all depends. And at that point, you know, when you had three or four people closing, you were expected to multitask. And now it's more, they want to push the business.
So what you're saying is basically less people are being Swiss Army knives in a sense.
Yes.
That's interesting. And then you brought up too that the company you work for mm-hmm. is is in multiple states within the U.S.
Yes.
And then having to memorize food safety laws, do you know any differences between California and, let's say, I'm assuming Texas and Arizona and Nevada, like any?
I don't know, because obviously each state has their own labor laws, their own state laws, and all this stuff. So I don't know what Texas or Arizona's laws may be for something that may be 2 hours here for work, maybe 4 hours there. It just all depends. And obviously, California, you're going to get paid more. The laws are stricter too. I actually was talking with a fellow employee today who is going to college in Idaho. And they said that they're taking a job up there. This person's taking a $5 pay cut.
Because of the state.
Because of the state.
Okay, interesting. Here's something I actually think would be fun for our viewers to know. Food safety, obviously you're professional in that because that's your job. What is a common food safety thing that anyone at home should know in cooking that most people you probably think don't know?
Water temperature comes into a factor of running a business. You would think, yeah, water's running, but is it to temp? The water has to be a certain degree. I know with my place of work, it has to be between 100 and 108 degrees for a hand washing sink. But if you're washing dishes, it needs to be at least 120, I believe. And that could be what my company standards are. I don't know exactly what the state standards are. And for meat, beef is 155, I believe. But for my company, they want it to be a little warmer or a little hotter by 10 degrees with 165, just to make sure that product is cooked right.
Now, I'm assuming you have temperatures and other equipment designed to check that throughout your shift, right?
Yes.
So now if a family at home or someone living by themselves who doesn't have that equipment, what's some way they can know that the water needs to feel that certain way just so when they're cleaning their own hands for their own health? Does it have to feel like if it's really hot, that's what you want actually, and if it's really cold, that's what you want?
I mean, for home, I guess it's what your discretion is. Obviously, for me, I have dishwashing gloves at home. I don't know how hot the water is. I know it's hot where I need to wear the gloves, and sometimes it's so hot that it still hurts even having the gloves on.
But is that what you would need for that safety level of cleaning everything and zero bacteria?
Oh, there's going to be bacteria on anything. You know, you could wash your hands and
still have something
on it.
Okay, here's one then for someone at home. Let's say after you cook a meal, you have some leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
What is the time frame for how long it can stay out before you need to have it refrigerated or it's just trash?
Well, usually it's about 2 hours. And it all depends too what the product is. If it's, say, coffee, depending on the restaurant, it could be an hour, it could be two. I know, like, if we have food prep stuff, depending on what kind of item it is, it could be 2 hours, it could be 24 hours, it could be 6 hours. It just all depends. Without me saying what company I work for, that would be giving away.
It's just saying on the prep.
Yeah.
So when having to deal with the public, mm-hmm. because that's the majority of the job, what is the best type of customer service everyone should know about when they apply for the fast food industry without having to get trained to give them, like, you know, that little leg up? What is a good tip on customer service?
I think smiling, kind of putting yourself in when you put yourself in the customer's shoes. You know, if you're applying for a job, you want to think about, how would you want to be treated? Do you want to be treated by someone not smiling or by someone giving you attitude? Because you could already be having a bad day and that just makes it even worse. Whereas if you come in with somebody that just, hi, how you doing? You know, wherever it may be, you know, maybe it cheers you up or maybe it gives you that experience. Maybe it starts making you think like, hey, you know. And I think just in general, even at the grocery store, people's attitude does play a big role in customer service or big role in whatever industry, because, you know, that kind of sets the vibe, sets the mood, sets the morale for whatever it may be.
When I was growing up, I always loved going to, for example, McDonald's. Just mm-hmm. I always thought it was a cool thing as a kid. We all knew back then, obviously, like McDonald's wasn't healthy, but it was the experience, it was the fun, especially like sometimes certain McDonald's had a N64, the Jungle Gym area, and then hell, I even had a couple of like McDonald's birthday parties there.
Yeah.
Small ones, but they were still like celebrations and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've noticed now when I go into, still example, the McDonald's, the whole atmosphere has changed. I'm not saying the workers, but like the architecture, the design, the structure, even outside the building, like used to have like animals, like
it's more streamlined.
It's more streamlined. Why do you think a lot of fast food places are losing that 90s, early 2000s
the nostalgia?
Charm? Yeah. Well, not the nostalgia, but the charm that it had to bring families in. And now it's more corporate feeling. Why are certain companies, you think, doing that in fast food?
I really don't know how to answer that. For instance, there was a McDonald's. It's still there over by Knott's Berry Farm. We used to call it the Train McDonald's. That's some place that we would go when we were younger every Friday. That was a treat when my grandmother would pick us up from school while my parents were at work. And I was visited there about a year ago with my mom to pick up some food and to see how much it had changed in probably, we'll say, 20 years since I'd been there. I don't even think the trains were even going, the tracks were still there. There used to be a ride you can ride in there. That's gone. Now you have codes for the bathrooms. There's graffiti. And I don't know. It's just because maybe the way the economy's been and not there's more homelessness. I don't know, to where they can't afford to have some of those items anymore because they can be vandalized or damaged, or maybe that's not that image anymore. Who knows? I mean, I don't really know.
Stuff has changed. I even noticed when I've gone to a couple of Carl's Juniors, there's actually a time limit now on how long you can be in there.
I think it's 90 minutes, isn't it?
I've seen some that say 30.
It just all depends.
It just depends on the area and every two. Mm-hmm. That has changed. Here's a fun one. What is a customer experience, you know, or just an overall like funniest moment you've had in your company that would differentiate from other industries? You know, what makes that a memorable shift?
I've had lots, to be honest with you. I think the one most embarrassing one was I was pouring a shake and poured it perfectly fine. Went to hand it to the customer, thought it'd be funny to kind of slide it, and it ended up sliding over off the edge of the counter and onto the floor during the rush. There was another one where I brought out a gentleman his order, and he was very thankful for it. And he ended up calling customer service and giving me a compliment. And I was recognized for that. I've met celebrities.
Oh, really? Like who?
When Sandra Bullock and Jesse James were together and they lived in Sunset Beach, they came through our drive-thru. Jesse James came through quite a few times. Jared Weaver, when he played for the Angels. Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy.
Oh, meeting. Really? Nice.
What's the guy from Friday? The tall...
The taller one?
Black guy?
Chris Rock?
No.
Was that Chris Tucker? Debo.
Debo, yes. He would come in with his wife.
Oh,
and,
wow.
In a Bentley. Who else? Wee Man from Jackass.
You saw Wee Man? How was Wee Man? I like Jackass.
If you ever saw the episode of Punked in his little Jetta wagon, that's a car he keeps.
That's what he came in through? Yes. So he actually drives that and stuff.
Yes.
Awesome.
Cameron Diaz.
Wow.
So I hope I'm not giving away where I work.
No, but Cameron Diaz, that's really cool. What do you think is the future of fast food going now, like 10 years from now, 20 years from now? What do you see it, how do you see it changing?
Well, I noticed going into McDonald's, I went to go pick up some food real quick. And like a lot of places are going to now, the kiosk, you have to order. You go in, you order at the kiosk instead of ordering from the counter. I went into McDonald's by the house and I was waiting in line and I get to what I would think to place my order. And she was like, "Are you here to pick up your food?" I said, "No, I'm here to order my food." And she says, "Well, you got to order at the kiosk." And then she just turned around and walked away. And even just how that McDonald's has changed as far as the ambiance of how the front counter you used to be able to see kind of into the kitchen. Now it's just like a wall and they go on to the side. And so I ended up just saying, you know, screw this. And I walked out and went over to Jersey Mike's.
When you said a kiosk, it kind of reminds me how some retail and grocery stores are doing self-checkout. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's more prevalent in our society, the self-checkout and kiosk where you're not?
Because they're trying to find the shortest line possible. That's what I think. But then at the same time, too, it's just maybe they just don't want to deal with anybody. They'd rather just deal with a computer. Yeah. I mean, so, heck, some people don't even write checks anymore. I mean, I'm going on how old? I'm going on 40. And, you know, these kids that I work with don't even know what a checkbook is. They just know debit card, you know. And that's something that I want to instill into my kids. This is how you write a check.
Why would you think newer generations, and it seems overall society, because, you know, people from, you know, from older, like millennials and baby boomers, they're also, you see them doing the kiosk and self-checkout. Why do you think all generations are just accepting this type of experience while shopping, whether it's as a grocery store or at fast food? Why are we accepting, you think, without a fight?
I don't know. And I've noticed a change more so. You know, you can't keep saying, oh, COVID's to blame. But it's like, I think it's definitely affected how businesses want to be ran in some ways, and to think, well, what if this happens again? Hey, at least we can still have customers. You know, we won't have to talk to them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You bring up COVID. I know COVID affected, for example, the film industry by the fact that so many people were streaming more, and experts in that industry said, like, COVID pushed everything 20 years ahead. The streaming stuff was there, but the prevalence of just watching everything at home, we predicted that 20 years from now is going to be a slow build. But with COVID, everyone's stuck at home, it skyrocketed. Do you think COVID brought what was supposed to happen, let's say, in 2040, everything to now 2020?
It definitely sped things up for sure, I think, because they needed backup plans. And that's why everything was so like, oh, how do we approach this, or how do we do this? And for me, you know, I still want to do it old school, you know, and that's how I plan to raise my kids, where is to limit the screen time as much as possible. Obviously, sometimes it's hard to, I'm not going to lie, but go out and have an adventure, go out and do something, and not just hide behind a screen or hide behind a video game or hide, you know,
utilizing apps like Uber Eats and the news.
Yeah. Go out and go have actually talk to someone, a field trip. Heck, my husband and I have date nights, and you think, oh, a date night would be going to the movies or having a fancy dinner or what have you. But we kind of take a date night any which way we could. And if that means us going to get gas in the car, you know, whatever it may be, it's getting out there, or to go grab a bite to eat at the local fast food restaurant. I don't want to be at home all the time. Yeah, it's great to be home, but
getting out's
a little bit better. Yeah, sometimes people can be crazy and it can be frustrating out there, but you can't be home all the time.
So do you think COVID really just showed us what was going to happen inevitably with just technology and basically convenience of, one, you know, watching a brand new movie that came out at home by renting it, and that's even cheaper, and then not even getting in the car, wasting gas, for example, just dialing up, pulling up the Uber Eats app, and it'll come to you. Yes, you're paying a little bit more, but you don't have to get out. Do you think that this was going to happen either way? COVID really just brought it quicker.
Yeah, and it made people lazy, I feel like, to some extent, you know, and that's kind of where it affects just the customer service industry businesses, because, you know, hey, I'm used to ordering on an app. How do I talk to a person? How do they learn the proper, not etiquette, but the proper way to talk to somebody, you know?
Decorum.
Thank you. You know, a handshake, a good old fashioned handshake. Heck, church. I'm Catholic. I know I'm not a good Catholic because I don't go to church all that often, but when I do, when they do the peace be with you, or you're supposed to shake your hand, a lot of people aren't doing that anymore. And I get people are scared and nervous because, you know, the sicknesses and illnesses and all that stuff out there, but it's probably all been around, you know, that 6 months before COVID was actually considered COVID, you know, sicknesses went around businesses and you thought, oh, it's just the flu. So who knows? We could have had COVID-18, COVID-17 and not even known. Then all of a sudden it just became this big pandemic because of something out of, was it China or something like that? Or what was it? Or something?
Well, where it originated from. It's kind of always been there is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, you being a manager, because you did say that.
Yeah. No longer.
What would be a, used to be a manager and having to interview a lot of people mm-hmm. for the job. What would be some tips you would give anyone applying for fast food or just any job? What's a good way to stand out from the rest?
Now more, be professional with how you may dress. A lot of kids now who are 16, even though they may not have any work experience, bring a resume. Did I ever make a resume when I thought 20 years ago? No. Do I know how to write a resume? Kind of. But, you know, that smiling, a strong handshake, looking at the person. I know for me, 20 years ago, it was more being part of a team. And there's no I in team, but sometimes I think nowadays there are. And just being positive, be you, be honest. Don't be fake just to, you know, because in the long run, yeah, it could affect the business once you're on part of that team. But also at the same time, too, don't do it just to do it. Do it for yourself. You know, if you really want to do something, go for it. Don't let, you know, your nerves, don't let, just be you.
How should one dress for an interview?
I know when I dressed 20 years ago, this was the last place I'd ever thought I'd, you know, say, hey, you want to stay for an interview? I was in jeans and a t-shirt. Nowadays, kids come in, dress slacks, maybe a button-up t-shirt, or not t-shirt, but a button-up shirt, mm-hmm. maybe a tie. I've seen people in suits. You know, it just all depends, you know, it's to look professional. But sometimes when you look too professional and out of place, it's like you're trying too hard and don't obviously, yeah, you want to portray yourself as like this great worker, this person that's willing to be part of this team. But at the same time, too, don't sell yourself too much where you sell yourself short. Does that make sense?
It sounds like, yeah, what sounds like you're saying is don't dress for the interview, dress for the job you want to be at. Because every job is different in atmosphere, attitude, and attire. So if you're going to go to like an office job, dress in the suit. If you're going to interview for like the liquor store, dial it down a bit.
Yes, but like at the same time, too, be professional. Obviously, I'm not going to go to an interview with holy jeans or a tank top. I'm going to be professional in that aspect.
But it's not like it used to be with like our, for example, our parents, where it's like you came in a suit. Now it's just like, know what company you're trying to be a part of. And that's how you should dress.
Yes.
Okay.
And no. But for me, if I were interviewing somebody now, obviously I can't because I'm not in the management world anymore. I would more look at it as them like, okay, yeah, they may be in jeans, but at the same time, too, you can't judge a book by its cover, too, because maybe they can't afford something or maybe, you know, this and that. So you sometimes have to give them the benefit of the doubt. But then sometimes, too, you kind of got to, okay, is that really going to fit? But when it comes to the clothing part, you can't really, for me, there's certain parts of being professional. But when you come with your boobs hanging out, you know, trying to sell yourself in that way, that's not professional.
So it's almost like you can't really put the outfit in a box anymore like it used to be. It really is almost more organic than mm-hmm. just everything.
Yeah.
For people who decide to get a job in fast food, whether it's for the summer, whether it's for just while they're in college, mm-hmm. or to actually see a 20, 30-year career out of it.
Yeah.
What are some words of wisdom you would have for them to let them know, like, this is what to expect in fast food?
Well, I mean, it's an ever-evolving door or, you know, things change from year to year, whether it be rules, regulations, and things like that. You know, obviously, follow the rules, and if they give you dress code or whatever it may be, if you really want that position, whatever position it may be for, whether if it is fast food or not, you know, follow the rules. It's not that simple, you know, respect what they have in place. And like I said, be you, but obviously sometimes with customer service, you have to give them that experience. And yeah, you're going to get to the point where you feel like you're fake sometimes and it sucks, but sometimes that's just how it is. But I look back and I look at it now too, like if it weren't for where I work now, I wouldn't be who I am today, you know, whether it be coming out of my shell, meeting my husband, having kids. I don't know. It's just having that interaction. I did try the corporate part of
my company.
And I thought it'd be fun. Yeah, I get to have my nails done, my hair done, this and that. And I don't have to look a certain way. You know, I can be more myself. It wasn't for me. I'd rather have that experience of talking to somebody in person. I wanted to not be on a phone handling something. Yeah, obviously I wanted to take care of the person, but you had to make you sound like you're smiling on the phone. And it wasn't for me. I wanted to be in the trenches, I guess you could say, and deal with it in person. Even if they call and complain and say you eye roll or you're giving the wrong impression, it's going to happen. People feel like they are entitled to certain things and need to be treated a certain way. But if they ever worked, you know, at any point in customer service industry, fast food industry, if they were to be in our shoes and see how sometimes they may treat us, and then if we were to be them and they be us, they would not like it. Or they'd be like, oh, this is a different. For example, my mom had worked corporate insurance, all this stuff. And then as she got older and we grew up and things like that, she wasn't wanting to stay in the business. So she went to work for a dealership. And then at one point, I think it was before COVID. She went in to work with a family friend that had a pizza place. And, you know, you have to have a food handler's card. And she said, now I understand the respect that you have to have for people that work in customer service, food service, because it's a lot. And it's not, sometimes it's not for the faint of heart. Sometimes, you know, and that's what kind of gets back to hiring the right people and how COVID's changed things or how things have changed because people's work ethics aren't there. And then in turn, it kind of creates a downfall for everything else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I hope I make
sense. No, you do. Here's one question I had. Uh-huh. Again, you moving up the ranks, being in management, and then stepping down. To help with morale in, which would be, I'm assuming, the kitchen, kind of like in fine dining.
Yeah.
To help with morale in the environment, what would you'd say those who aren't in management need to understand for those in management and vice versa?
I think being in a management, you know, going from having friends and then going into management and managing those friends, you have to create that like balance of, hey, you know, it's time, there's time for work, there's time for play. But, you know, it's just showing, I think from being a management and having employees, you want to take care of them and know that we appreciate their hard work, whatever business, fast food, customer service, whatever it may be in, is to show that we appreciate them for coming to work. There were times when I was a manager, my husband, or, you know, would bring donuts or bring pizza. Or I would say, hey, if we can do this, this, and this, then I will call my husband and he will bring us pizza or bring us, you know, I think at one point I bought for 17 people that were on that shift, I each got them a $5 gift card to Starbucks because they did what I asked them to do and we did it as a team and we were all hyped about it and this and that. So obviously I'm going to reward them for their good work. I mean, it's not going to happen every day. But at least, you know, keeping that morale up and keeping them wanting to know more and they want to be trained. Like if they're showing their loyalty, they're showing,
commitment and stuff.
Things like
hustle,
that.
Hustle, working hard. So basically what you're telling me is that appreciation, acknowledgement are big things.
Morale. Like
when a manager is dealing with employees. And when it comes to employees dealing with managers, is knowing how to do the light switch of having fun joking around with the boss, but then it's
hey, this is time to get down and dirty.
So that's so being a light switch in that aspect, and then acknowledgement and appreciation. Those are big things.
And there would be times that, you know, I would say, oh my gosh, I'm sorry if I handled that wrong. Like, I wasn't trying to be, it's just we need to get stuff done, you know, and I felt guilty a lot of times. I would say sorry a lot. And, you know, and I genuinely was, but, you know, I look back and I'm like, yeah, maybe I could have done something different, this and that, but obviously I did it for a reason.
It's also sometimes the heat of the moment.
Right? And it's the heat of the moment.
We're all human. Okay.
You know? Yeah, when they would do like surveys on management team or whatever, and they may say, oh, well, they say they're going to train me and they don't, this and that. Yeah. You could be, I guess we could have been a little more black and white and just say, you know, maybe don't make promises that we couldn't keep, especially if the way the business was or people call out, then, oh, we, yeah, it may say you were getting trained, but we can't train you now because so-and-so called out.
Okay.
Because it's not their fault that these people called out. But at the same time, too, as a business aspect, we have a business to run. But at the
wheel
same,
keeps on turning.
Basically. The wheels has to keep turning. Yep.
Before we end it, I had a fun little idea. This is what I did with the gentleman I interviewed about fine dining.
Okay.
I wanted your rating from 0 to 10, obviously 0 being horrible, 10 being the best, on various fast food places. So, for example, what is your opinion on Carl's Jr.?
I used to eat that stuff a lot. And the portion sizes went from bit decent size, reasonably priced, to, oh my God, where is the item? To, you know, but no, that's a gut bomb for me. That's a big fat goose egg.
What about Chick-fil-A?
Oh, I like Chick-fil-A.
Is it worth the price?
If you really want it, sometimes yes. And sometimes if you're just craving it, some, you know, yeah, I'll go for it.
Taco Bell.
I used to not be a fan of Taco Bell. I was more of a Del Taco person, but obviously things change and taste buds change. And I actually really like Taco Bell. I kind of prefer it over Del Taco.
Panda Express.
For cheap Chinese food. And it tastes pretty darn good. I like it.
Yeah.
Do you want a number? Numbers? 10 out of 10, 9 out of 9?
Sounds like a 10 out of 10. That's good.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. All right. What about... You have, okay, McDonald's. We brought that up a lot. What's McDonald's in your opinion?
For a quick meal?
They are quick. You can't get
they're quick. Yeah, and yes, they're, what is it, the breakfast?
Sausage McMuffins are the best.
No. What's the McGriddle?
Like the pancake one, right? The griddle? McGriddles?
The McGriddles, yes. Those I think good. We've talked about this
before. Is fast food, honestly, every fast food place has the best breakfast.
Yeah, but McDonald's would not be my preferred choice. It's more like in a quick. Hey, I need a quick pinch. Because usually it's a gut bomb for me. I'm not going to lie.
Jack in the Box.
I can't believe I ate that crap in high school. Now I haven't been to Jack in the Crack since college or even high school. So that's 20 years, 20 plus years ago.
All right, speaking of burgers, In-N-Out, how's that? Good?
Yes, I honestly think that's one of the more family-friendly, economical, would that be the proper terminology, as far as like more bang for your buck. And you're getting fresh things and, you know, it's just like that book Fast Food Nation. I know it's been a long time ago. My reading comprehension sucks. It's one of the better ones. I would definitely, my boys both like In-N-Out. My husband likes In-N-Out. I have a secret obsession.
What about Raising Cane's?
I can take it and I can leave it. I'd rather go to Chick-fil-A, to be honest with you.
Okay, when it depending comes to chicken.
Depending on what you're craving, but I would prefer going to Chick-fil-A.
And speaking of chicken, El Pollo Loco.
Not too shabby. And I love their damn churros. Those are so freaking delicious.
And finally, because this has been a one that's been around for a while and has really went through some changes structurally.
Habit sucks. Sorry. I had to say it.
What?
I don't like Habit.
Oh, yeah, I don't like it either. But I understand how why people do. I get charboiled's fun once in a while. I just got to do it right.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of a company that's been through so many changes, you know, architecturally, commercially, marketing, even how it looks, Wendy's. How does Wendy's hold up? I mean, they used to have chili.
They don't have chili anymore?
Not that I've seen. They used to be able to get a cup of soup and chili.
Do they still do baked potatoes and onion?
No.
Dang.
Not a baked potato. I think onion rings, maybe.
I haven't had Wendy's in a while, but I know that was my staple going home from school.
For people don't know, remember, it used to be yellow cups and yellow fry holders. It used to be yellow.
What is it, red?
Yeah, it's all red, but it used to be yellow.
Interesting. Interesting. All I know is I feel like the meat, if you call it meat, I don't know, a square, has gotten a lot smaller, but the price is raised. And I get it. Things change. But their fries aren't bad. As far as rankings, I'd probably do In-N-Out number one.
When it comes to burgers and fries?
When it comes to burger and fries. Wendy's would probably be up, and then obviously Chick-fil-A. But as far as like burgers and fries, Wendy's, I feel like, would be above McDonald's. If that makes any
that makes sense.
Puts in perspective to how I'm thinking.
Now, finally, great question, because we see it wherever we go to eat. Coke products or Pepsi products? The final question.
Oh, I love Coke. But since having my second son, I've not done dark soda. I've cheated a few times, I'm not going to lie. But I've tried to stick with the, was it clear soda or Sprite?
Like Sierra Mist and Star. Yeah. Sprite.
Is it good for me? Probably not, because of sugar still. But I would drink Coke every day.
So Coke's still the best when it comes to just complimenting any meal?
Even if I don't drink Coke, I would still rather have Coke over Pepsi. Yeah, Costco, you go shopping. It was Pepsi product. Now it's Coke product, which is even better. But sometimes when you do have Pepsi and fountain drink, it's not bad. But I still like Coke.
Alrighty, well, that wraps up the interview. Britt, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule of, you know, being a mom and working for the interview. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
So what'd you think?
I think one thing that's going to be most, or most revealing for a lot of people to hear, is that Britt is a mother, and yet she's made a career. She's a family woman, and yet she's made a career in the fast food industry. And I think most people kind of think of fast food as like, well, that's a job you do as a teenager, and then you get out and then get a real job once you get that college degree. And I think it's just not the reality. And when you think about it for 5 minutes and actually go to a few fast food places, it doesn't make sense. But I think there is something hopeful that she has made a life in the fast food business, that it's not this dead end job that snobs always think of it is.
No, and it's nice to hear, like you said, it's good to hear that, because you know she is one of millions of moms, and don't forget millions of fathers, who it's just like, a job is a job no matter where you're at. Mm-hmm. And we brought this up actually in one of our previous podcasts, of just like, you shouldn't look down on someone whatever their job title is. Mm-hmm. Everyone's doing what they think is best to bring food on the table for their loved ones, whether it's entire family, like we said with Britt, for her and her husband and her children, or the single parent, or just someone who's has a partner, or even someone who's by themselves, or someone who's taking care of their parents. Whatever it is, everyone's trying to do their best and what they think is best to bring money home. And that includes fast food, where every American goes.
Yeah.
So don't look down on someone for, you know, saying order number 64. Would you like fries for that? Want to make that an extra large? Here's the kids' meal. No. Why are you there then if you're looking down on it?
Yeah.
Every American loves fast food. I love fast food. I love McDonald's. I love Taco Bell. I love Chick-fil-A. I love In-N-Out. I even love the, you know, the quote unquote higher end fast food places like The Habit to it. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Food is food. And when it's made by people who have families, it's a better time.
What was reinforcing me in that interview is that everyone deserves a living wage no matter what their job. If the job is paying, they should be able to like have a life with that money. Because, you know, in the case of Britt, you know, she's got family. She's paying for more than just her.
Yeah. And if her children are looking up to her, why can't the community?
Damn right.
Because when a kid looks up to you, that means humanity's looking up to you.
I salute you, Britt. Sorry I couldn't be there for the interview, but
I think we are never going to be able to do interviews together. We got to work on that. We'll work on that soon.
This is what I get for going on a vacation with my wife.
All right. That's the podcast, though. Hope everyone enjoyed it. Another great episode for Give Us the Launch Codes. I'm Tom.
I'm Travis.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.